Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. Check out the new season's Weber range at Norwood and Holden Hill.
104.7 Triple M.
Ruined It's for Breakfast, the boys on holidays. Jules Schiller and Snowy filling in. Top of 17 today with a shower or two. 10 degrees it is at the moment. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. The weather is going to get better and it's your chance to become a barbecue hero. Thanks to Heatworks, located at Norwood and Holden Hill. Oh, tired fan mail reading person this morning.
Yes, haven't beaten the Japanese for 7 years in football, Snowy. And that didn't change last night. One all draw at Etihad Stadium. And in the first 5 minutes, we conceded a goal against Saudi Arabia. And in the first 5 minutes last night, this happened.
Just interesting to see how Japan have lined up with Keisuke Honda at the point of attack. Kobayashi one side, and here's Haraguchi on the other. Genki Haraguchi, and they have scored Japan. And again, it's in the first 5 minutes. The opposition leads, as it was in Saudi Arabia.
Ooh. So that's just, you know, that's just starting a date on a bad foot, isn't it? That's like having a party and serving someone a dodgy prawn straight up. It was, and you know what the Japanese did? And the Japanese never do this, Snowy, if you know, follow world football as much as I do. They're known as a fast-flowing side, really attacking. They're great to watch, but they've been doing so well. So they did that thing that everyone hates in football, and especially people who don't like football hate. You know when they just sit behind the ball?
Yep.
They put everyone in the box, and they just sit back and go, you know, we'll just... And that happened. So, and then we got a penalty. We were able to get it to 1-1, but it wasn't the best game. But, you know, we did pretty well. Timmy Cahill didn't score, which is what everyone wanted to see.
Well, they wanted him to come off the bench, weren't they? And then just, you know, score that magical goal. And, oh, look at that. We're back in the hunt. Why don't we get more tactful and more tactical, I should say, actually? And why don't we try and put the opposition off? I mean, perfect opportunity last night with Japan in Australia. Just throw a whale.
Yeah, exactly. Distract them.
Exactly.
Which they're trying to research with their scientific vessels. Let's just throw a whale there. Maybe we could have got a couple of Pokemon Go monsters up.
See the whole team run after Pokemon.
Yeah, or just play The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. I'm sure that horrified the Japanese nation. It wasn't a great result, but the Socceroos are still, you know, we're still well on track to qualify for the World Cup. But like I say, it's disappointing when teams get very defensive, but that's international football. Hey, the other big news, are you a big Rolling Stones fan, Snowy?
Mate, not a massive... I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I do like their music, but I'm not an Andrew Jarman mad Rolling Stones fan. So I do like him.
Well, it's been leaked today that the state government are going to pay him $1.2 million to open Adelaide Oval. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a lot?
I think it's an insane amount of money, but I could see why they were trying to do it from a business proposition, which was to try and highlight the Adelaide Oval and draw a lot of people there. And I suppose sometimes you've got to spend money, Jules, to make money.
Don't you hate it, though, when successful people get even more success?
Mm.
Like multimillionaires for one gig are offered, $1.2 million. It's the equivalent of watching Bill Gates win $10 million on a scratchy, isn't it? Just imagine seeing the one. You just go, what? You get even more money? How much do you need, Mick Jagger? He's a cricket fan, Mick Jagger. Surely, Adelaide Oval, he would discount his rate.
Absolutely.
And then we had the whole Lance Armstrong thing. Are we just paying drug addicts to come to South Australia? Is that the policy?
They all get together at meetings. No, mate, you've got to go to Adelaide. Like I'm telling you, they'll pay you.
An interesting story today. The worst time to go to a gym, Snowy, is if you're upset. Is there any other way to go to a gym?
Well, I was going to say, you've been upset for a long, long time, because you've not ventured into that gymnasium for a long time.
Yeah. I think it's the fees that I'm paying and not really redeeming. You know what? Speaking about like exercise and emotion, there's a study I did a story for the project on that men are more likely to have three times more likely to have a cardiac arrest during a big game
Really?
Yeah, well, during World Cups and also Grand Finals, cardiac arrest, fatal cardiac arrest goes up. So some guys are banned by cardiologists from going to live sport.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, even at the Grand Final, a Bulldogs fan, he had a cardiac arrest 20 minutes before the final siren.
Wow.
And was revived. And my favourite, I spoke to this guy as a Collingwood fan, and it was in a preliminary final. I think must have been 2010, the year they won the Grand Final. Anyway, so it's close. He has a cardiac arrest, and because at the MCG they have defibrillators on site, they managed to sort of get him, they managed to revive him in the ambulance, and he survived. I interviewed him. He was annoyed because he was wearing his Collingwood jumper that was signed by the 1990 Premiership team.
Oh, no.
And when paramedics revive you, they just cut they get scissors through, and they just cut open your clothing. So he's like, this thing was worth like 10 grand and they've just sliced it open. And so that is how insane football fans are. I don't think you could get a story that sums up the insanity. Life or your merchandise?
Exactly.
It's a toss-up, isn't it?
I would rather die than you rip up my 1990 signed Guernsey. What a goon.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
It's 104.7 Triple M, top of 17 today with a shower of two. Snowy and Jules filling in for Ruined Dits. The boys back from Monday. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbecues. Well, the plebiscite, Jules.
Yes, it's a real mess, isn't it? Of course, the Abbott government and Turnbull promised to have a plebiscite on same-sex marriage. Now, Labor have come out, joined with the Greens, and said they're not going to agree to it because of stress they think it might cause to the LGBTI community. To make sense of it all is Mike Smithson. He joins us now. Mike, this is a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Yes, good morning. And Jules, I didn't know you were still alive.
Yeah.
This is wonderful news.
Yeah, no, this is just a series of...
I didn't know Snowy was either, to be honest.
Exactly.
Getting down to serious business, the plebiscite, yeah, look, I can see Labor's point of view in all of this because I'm, you know, very much, and I think most forward-thinking people would say, well, you know, gay marriage is, it's only a matter of time before it becomes legalised. I think that is the pretty much the mainstream view. But for Labor to block it and to vote unanimously in Labor caucus and say, well, look, we're not going to get it through the Senate, and the government obviously won't have the numbers in the Senate because it needs independence to support its move for a plebiscite. Number one, $170 million. I can think of a lot better things to spend money on in this country than a vote, putting it out to the public to decide. That's what we elect politicians for, isn't it? To make decisions?
Yeah, correct. This is a strange thing because politicians love making laws. I mean, they go into Canberra to have the power. Now they have power to make change and they're just handballing it back to us. And, you know, when you think that Ireland have decided to legalise same-sex marriage and we can't, we're becoming kind of an embarrassment, aren't we, on the sort of Western world stage on this issue, Mike?
Well, I think it's a gutless approach from the Turnbull government to say, well, look, we can't make a decision. They don't want to put it to a free vote. Now, whether it's the conservative nature of the Liberal Party that, you know, people find this topic a bit too sensitive and a bit too not in our backyard, if you know what I mean. But you put it out to if it's a plebiscite, which is a non-binding vote, it's not like a referendum. You're just gauging the public opinion for $170 million. And then it's a non-binding decision anyway. But surely you lobby your local member or your local member gets a feel, reads the tea leaves in their local electorate, their local community. You put it to a free vote in Parliament. That is that you don't have to vote down party lines. It's a conscience vote. That's what the Labor Party wants. And you know where they're headed. They want same-sex marriage. They fully support it. You know, to me, it's a no-brainer. And all you're going to do is, if you put it out for public debate, is going to get angry and nasty and really polarised views that probably will impact badly upon people who it's going to affect most. So, to me, politicians, get off your asses and actually do what we pay you to do.
Well, you talk about the local electorate, Mike. The great irony is Malcolm Turnbull's local electorate, of course, the eastern suburbs of Sydney, is incredibly pro-same-sex marriage. And if he took the temperature around where he is, he would know that. So it's quite ironic that he is the prime minister that is going to be seen as, you know, like the representative of government that is blocking this, isn't it?
Yeah, totally, Jules. I see where you're coming from, but the problem with all of this, that if it doesn't go to a plebiscite, which it won't, because it's going to be blocked in the Senate by Labor and Independents, this could drag on for years and years and years, changing laws when it comes down to Parliament, unless the Liberal Party goes to Malcolm Turnbull in their party room and says, look, let's just put this to a free vote. Let's just end the crap and actually put it to a vote and do what we're paid to do. Then we might see some law changes, and sooner the better as far as I'm concerned. But let's save the $170 million and actually spend it on people who need it.
Smitho, is it Malcolm Turnbull that's the one that really wants this plebiscite, or is he just too scared possibly to do a backflip like Mike Baird and actually put it through? Because it seems to be more party pressure that's being put on him, you know, the people behind the scenes that don't want this same-sex marriage to go through.
Well, Snowy, I think it dates back, predates Malcolm Turnbull, back to the Tony Abbott days. To me, Malcolm Turnbull is a far more free-thinking and has a more liberal mind than Tony Abbott ever had. But it's clearly elements, factions within the Liberal Party that are saying, hang on, I don't know if I want to go on the floor and publicly declare my hand. I don't know why, because, hey, it's not that scary. You know what I mean?
No, it's
other parts of the world find it quite easy to deal with. Little old conservative Australia, just wake up and get on with it. Maybe that's what most people would be thinking.
Maybe we should have plebiscites on bigger issues, shouldn't we, Mike? Like whether Bryce Gibbs should come to the Crows, or whether schnitzel should be served on a bed of chips, or the chips should be to the side. Let's have a plebiscite on hipster beards. It's time for them to go. Let's get into the media issues. Thank you for joining us, Mike. And it's comments like that that explain why I've been off the air for so long. I'll talk to you in another 20 years when we're probably still debating this.
Good on you.
Good on you, mate. Well done. Mike Smithson there, Channel 7 political reporter, and a tweet just coming through from Rick to Triple M Adelaide. Pity we don't spend more time on jobs, manufacturing, fixing country debt levels, poverty, abuse, and less on same-sex marriage. And I think...
That's what you said, $170 million on this issue.
Yep.
When there's unemployment and there's health issues, there's education issues. I think people just want to move on and just use the money elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Triple M.
Ruined It's for Breakfast. The boys off for a week. They are back from Monday morning. Thanks to the place that can make your barbecue hero, Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbecues. They've got the great new styles, the colours, and also they've got the secrets when it comes to expert advice. They've got it all there, Jules. All there at Heatworks at Holden Hill and Nord. Now, what is this that you are upset about the zoos of Australia?
Well, it's school holidays, Snowy. It's always hard to know what to do, you know, with children. You know, you've got trampolining places, water slide parks, or just leave them in the car when you go to the casino. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of options. but I'm a big zoo fan. I'm a zoo member.
Yep.
Go to zoos all around Australia. Of course, here in Adelaide, we've got Wang Wang and Foonie who are failing to breed, but, they're a great attraction.
Mm.
As a zoo member, I get to the front of the queue. Oh. I'm kind of annoyed that I don't check to see if I'm over 18. Yeah. I just like the perviness of that, going into the zoo. Sure, your age. So I go to the zoo all the time because I think it's great for kids. But, like, we live in an era of entertainment.
We do.
I mean, and I think zoos are part of the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, what they did maybe 40, 50 years ago is not really cutting it now, Snowy. So I've got a few suggestions.
Oh, I'm going to run them. You've got some improvements here.
Yeah. All right. First off, there are animals that just don't cut it in the zoo environment. Like, if you're paying to get in, like frogs. I'll bat up frogs.
Yeah, no.
No one wants to pay to go to the zoo and see frogs. Nah. They've got no right to be in the zoo.
I agree.
All right. The butterfly enclosure. There's a couple there, but do you know what? You're just seeing a lot of insects flying around. I mean, we have to deal with that in summer anyway.
Exactly.
All right. So get rid of any zoo exhibit that you could bring down with a can of Mortine shouldn't be in there.
Out.
All right. Get rid of the butterfly enclosure. Secondly, there's animals that you go and see, like, you know, your kid, you go, let's go and see the cheetah. Let's go and see the puma.
Mm.
They're hiding behind rocks.
Yes.
If an animal is hiding behind a rock, you don't go and see AC/DC and they're cowering behind the stage. Do you know what I mean? These animals are there on show.
Mm.
It's time for them to bat up. Send them to acting school. Send them somewhere. Let them know that they're there to perform. We're
exactly.
there to see them. If you're the sort of animal that's hiding behind a rock, you're out.
Exactly. Get someone with a big prod to push it, move it out, get out.
We're paying to see you.
Mm.
I went to the Nocturnal House as well. Obviously, you pay a lot of money for the nocturnal house with the low lighting, the special lights. Half the animals are still asleep. We're not fooling them, right? I go to the nocturnal house to see him awake. Yes. I love the deception of it all.
Exactly.
All right, so if you've got a bilby that's still half asleep, get him out.
No good.
Maybe we'll play some nightclub music.
Or put the cheetah in there and then the bloody thing will move real quick.
Exactly. So I just reckon zoos, you know, they can improve a little bit, you know. Are you a big zoo fan yourself, Snowy?
Look, I don't mind going seeing a good hippo every now and again, walk through the water. I don't mind it, but I'm not some, well, I mean, I used to own a zoo. I had the Harndall Farm Bar for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we had many attractions. And what we used to love to do is, you know, is really fire the animals up. So put something in their food every now and again and watch them go crazy. No.
I take that back. There's always an awkward thing at a zoo because a lot of people go on dates to zoos.
Oh.
There's always an awkward thing when you see people on a first date and like two hippos start to mate in front of them. And there's always the guy going, wow, he's gifted that hippo. There's no way.
Sometimes though, Jules, some people are dumber than the animals at a zoo. And I remember one particular time where I bought these two camels, okay, Sasha and Lulu, okay, beautiful animals. And they were the two, my piece de resistance I had to have at the farm barn. So we bought these two camels and we had signs that would have been a good 1 meter by 1 meter that said, please watch out, camels will bite. Okay. And when they bite, it's not a hard bite like a dog or anything like that. It's a big soft, like two cushions that come down you because they really don't have any teeth and they've just got big fat lips. And the amount of times people would come up and complain that they'd been bitten by a camel when there were five red signs, 1 meter by 1 meter, that said, watch out, camels will bite. So maybe what you need to do with your zoo tips is let's get rid of all signs and just let people at their own peril put their hands in and see what happens and whether or not that might bring some more attraction to the zoos.
Well, it's good promotion through YouTube because as soon as some guy climbs into the lion enclosure,
that's it.
You know, there's just YouTube. Maybe that's promotion.
Exactly.
Just get him in there. Get some sort of slapdowns going on.
Zoo TV, have it running 24/7 of just zoos from around the world. There you go. I like it. 6:57 coming up. Jules, you've done a lot of stories for the project over the last few years. And one you were talking about earlier, and it sort of relates to the young guy in Queensland who's up for a murder charge with a young girl that supposedly jumped off or alleged that she jumped off the balcony on the 14th floor.
Yeah, it's on online dating stories and some of the pitfalls of online dating. And, you know, and obviously this situation got completely out of hand and it's tragically ended in a death. Mm-hmm. But it'd be good to talk about people who are in that environment dating because you are... It's got great advantages because you are meeting people you wouldn't normally meet, so you have the chance for romance, but it throws up so many kind of random and occasionally dangerous situations.
Absolutely.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
You're lucky I haven't chucked you off my balcony, you goddamn psycho little I'll knock you out. I'll knock you the out. Do you understand? Who the do you think you are?
No! 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 No!
You're trying to kill me, huh?
No!
It's all on recording,
no!
You know?
No!
It's all big.
No!
Yeah. That is just some of the chilling audio that Gabe Tosti recorded, believe it or not, Jules, before Warina Wright fell from the 14th floor of a Gold Coast high-rise apartment building. And Gabe, of course, is facing the possibility of going to jail for a long, long time. Ironically, though, he recorded the audio during the date, fearing for his own safety as well.
Yeah, it's a very odd situation. It's before the court, Snowy, to know what happened. There's no allegation he pushed her over, but the allegation is he put her life in danger and she wanted to escape for her own safety. We don't know what happened. That's before the court to decide. Mm-hmm. But I thought it'd be interesting to discuss Tinder and maybe any online dating app, really, because this is how the whole situation came to be. They swiped each other on Tinder. She was visiting the Gold Coast from New Zealand. They met at his apartment and they drank heavily. Mm-hmm. And then this whole situation unfolded. And the great thing about, well, the thing about Tinder is it does introduce people to a different range of people, and that often results in relationships and romance. But it also puts people into unpredictable situations with people that they don't know, mm-hmm. that at this extreme end resulted in someone's death. But of course, that's extreme. But I have researched the story for the project and done stories on the Gold Coast for them and seen and heard about some of these stories. And I think it'd be great to share some of them on 133353 because some of them just range from quite dangerous to just hilarious. I was talking to one girl and she, like, safe like this, you know, she always did things very safely. She met this guy. It was in Sydney, went to King's Cross. He didn't look like his picture, which set off alarm bells, but they were just going to an open bar. Hard to get a park around King's Cross. So he said, just park in my underground car park. Oh, I've got a guest park. So she, you know, he changed the kind of the arrangement quite quickly. But she, you know, if you've lived in Sydney, you know that it costs about $40 an hour in a park.
Yep.
So she thought, okay, I'll just use. So she went into his underground car park in his apartment. Then they get he meets her. They get into a lift and he just hits the button to the 14th floor. So suddenly she's in the lift to the 14th floor and it opens to his apartment. So she's gone from meeting him to an open bar to suddenly being in his apartment without any kind of realization and you know, planning that this would happen. Now, this obviously didn't result in anything, you know, relating to assault, but she said this guy was exceedingly creepy and she felt for her safety. So that's, you know, one example of just how things can go pretty wrong on a dating app if you're not careful. And this girl was very sensible. Then it just ranges into the ridiculous. I was talking to another girl and she was talking to this guy, swiped on him in Tinder. He was very handsome, very charming. They had very witty conversation. She went to meet him in a cafe. He turned up. Again, very handsome, like an Italian stallion sort of guy, sat down. They talked for 5 minutes and then he said, look, I've got to confess, you haven't been talking to me. My brother is quite shy and he doesn't look that great. So he uses my picture, and then he chats to girls. And so he left. So imagine like a kind of, you know, like a,
Jack Black.
Yeah. Exactly. Like a Joe Pesci kind of comes and just had this handsome guy. He sits down and she's like, what do you, I didn't agree to meet you.
No,
you can't use your picture as a lure. Mm-hmm. And so she just stormed off and he ran down the street going, what, come on, we're having such a good conversation. Another girl I talked to, swiped a guy and he worked in the sort of medical industry at a hospital. I think he worked in like, you know, like artificial limbs. So he brought along to the date. He said, I want to give you something. So I have an excuse to see you again. And he bought like a severed, like a thing of a severed arm that he'd gift wrapped with a bow and handed it over at the bar to her. She's like, what am I meant to do with that? Wow. He said, well, just keep it as a memento.
Yeah. Remember this beautiful night together.
And of course on Tinder, there are so many, you know, there's that phenomenon called catfishing where people download.
I've never heard of this before. You said this morning, this is how out of touch I am. I've never heard of catfishing. What is this?
Someone might be using your pic, Snowy, on some dating app somewhere around the world.
They might be
downloading your pic to lure in girls.
No.
Just, you know, some of your heartbreaking radio shots from the 90s.
Exactly, maybe. With the mullet.
But this is what happens because, you know, there are Facebook accounts that are unlocked. So people can download 20 to 30 pictures, say, of a young girl in Alabama. Mm-hmm. They could set up a Twitter account and say they're from Sydney. The girl looks hot. And then they often target sports people and celebrities, or just anyone really. Mm-hmm. So they're fooled into thinking that they're chatting to Charlotte from, you know, Henley. Mm-hmm. And it's often, it could be Graham from Murray Bridge.
Wow.
You know, who's doing it as a joke.
Good morning to Graham.
Good morning to Graham. So there are, it'd be interesting to get people, because let's face it, online dating is not a stigma anymore. Like many, many, many people do it. It's an acceptable part of dating culture. But it does open up these Pandora's boxes of unpredictable situations that are slightly creepy, and some of them are just plain funny.
And I think also too, Jules, you know, the people that would be listening to Triple M, you know, a lot of us are 30 plus. And if you are on Tinder or in a dating site, it's mostly the first time you've ever, ever stepped so far out of your comfort zone to be a part of this whole new world.
Well, that's a great thing about dating apps. If you're, you know, if you're divorced or you're in, you know, you're in your early 30s or early 40s and you've got kids, you can't go out to bars. You can't be at the Highlander or the Watermark every night of the week like you were when you were 20. So dating apps are a great way to meet people. But like I say, they just throw up these random and sometimes creepy situations, but also funny ones.
133353. We've got a $100 voucher to Joiner's Arms. There you can go and meet someone. Inner City Good Vibes featuring Adelaide's only Whiskey Den. 133353. Have you been a part of a dating app or a dating site like Tinder or RSVP or anything like that? And has it gone completely wrong? Has it not planned out the way you want it to be? Has someone else turned up? Or has something absolutely spooky happened to you where you've gone, that's it, I don't want to be a part of this ever again? Love to know if it's happened to you, Adelaide.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7.23, Jules Schiller and Snowy filling in for Ruined Dits. The boys are on annual leave. They are back from Monday, thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber Barbecues. We're talking this morning on 133353. Your scary Tinder or dating app moments,
yeah.
Jules.
When things haven't quite gone to plan, you've been on the swipe, and just something sort of untoward or maybe just random has happened when you've met somebody. And we've got Darren.
We have.
Has given us a yell. G'day, Darren.
Hello there. How you going?
Good. What's happened to you, Darren?
Well, mate, it was a few years ago now, and I get there, and the photos, you know, the photo's completely different to what she actually looks like now, which is your standard.
Yeah.
And then basically, I've tried to say to her, like, hey, this ain't going to work. And she's gone into this, like, she's flipped out. And I'm not sure if she's well or not, but... And she's gone into, like, she's talking to someone else. And she's saying things like, you know, like, I know he's the chosen one, but he wants to leave. And I'm seriously sitting there. And I was spinning out. I was like... Like, I knew where the door was, and I knew, like, if I had to, I'd jump out of a window. And it was seriously, like, the most freakiest thing I think I've ever come across in my life. And I was out of there, and I just kept on running.
Well, Darren, she's obviously got some issues, but yeah.
Absolutely. We don't know if you're the chosen one for the $100 voucher to join his arms. But
but the chosen one's like a nickname I'd like to use. In fact, if I went on Tinder, that's going to be my profile name.
The chosen one.
Jules, the chosen one.
133353. Your Tinder or your dating app mishaps, your scary moments, what's happened when you've joined the single world, when you've become newly single and you've tried to find love? 133353. Bo of Powerful Gardens has given us a call. You've had a bit of a Tinder mishap, Bo?
Bit of a left of field one because it didn't really happen to me. But one of my friend's girlfriends was talking to some guy online from dating sites. And the guy she was talking to was using all my photos. And anyway, so she showed my friend all these photos of this guy. And like, nah, that's my friend Bo. He's like, nah, this is Peter. I've been talking to him for 2 or 3 months, and he's absolutely amazing. So my friend showed me all the photos of me, and was like, this isn't you, isn't it? And I'm like, no, I have a girlfriend. And so we worked out that some random person, probably in America or something, was using photos of me to chat up girls.
Are you, Bo, you know, I don't mean this in a creepy way, but are you a good-looking guy?
I don't know. I'd go right, I guess.
Yeah, go right.
No, I'm saying you're more likely to use pictures of a better-looking guy if you're going to use them on a dating app. I mean, you don't download pictures of Clive Palmer and say, ladies, I'm available. Get involved. See, that happens quite a lot. Like we were talking earlier, it's called catfishing. There's a whole series on MTV about it, Snowy. It's a fascinating phenomenon.
Never heard of it before. Never heard of it before. 133353, Shane of Glengarry. You went on a website, dating website?
Oh, yeah, I did, guys. I was newly single, so I decided to jump on RSVP and my first experience and hooked up a date and thought, yeah, this is fantastic. Went out on the date, arrived, and quickly realised that obviously the photo that this woman had put up on the dating site was a Studio 2000 photo because she didn't look much like her picture, but not looks aren't everything, guys.
So
I powered on and after a while realised that she had brought her kid along with her, but the kid was in the background with a friend. And so we were sitting there having this date, and I'd clearly stated on my profile that I wasn't interested in kids, but she had failed to mention this and had brought the kid along and just was in the background with a friend waiting while we had our date. So made it a little bit awkward, guys. So needless to say, it didn't last very long.
How old was the child, out of interest, Shane?
27.
She was about a toddler, so 5 or 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, yeah. So... yeah, but look, it all worked out, guys. I ended up finding my my future wife on RSVP, so we're now married 3 years in November. So it's not all bad out there.
No, it's not. And I had a friend who was on, I think it was RSVP, Snowy, mm-hmm. and she was talking to this guy, and he'd always cancelled the dates just before. I think he, you know, so that she was kind of wanting to meet him, he didn't meet.
Yeah.
And then they exchanged phone numbers, and one time he sent her an intimate picture of himself. And I was with this girl and she showed it to me and I thought, man, that's impressive. Like that's unbelievable. And then a little alarm bell went off in my mind. I thought, that's a little too impressive.
Yeah.
And you can do something called reverse image search on Google. So you put the image in and you find out where it appeared before.
Oh, wow.
And it was the first image that came up when you typed in image search Google, big blah.
Yeah.
So he just gone. He just downloaded the image and thought, cop this. Look at this. And I'm like, that's a great idea. If I ever get into that,
into that art,
mate, they're all going to be downloaded.
You'll be cutting and pasting all day today.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits is Red Fist. Your chance to whinge. Or maybe you've got one of life's little victories you want to tell us all about. It's thanks to Victory Verandas, Carports and Louvers, and you could win $100 cash on 133353. Jules, what have you got being a bonnet about?
You're going to have to stop me here. There's so many things because I'm only on for a week, so I've only got one chance to do this. All right, firstly, you know what annoys me? I was at the service station the other day. Some guy's there buying a chomp bar.
Yep.
Remember those bars?
Yeah, only about 80 cents.
He buys a chomp bar. A, he uses a Visa card to get his chomp bar. B, they say, do you want a receipt? And he's going, yeah, print me out a receipt. What do you need a receipt for a chomp bar for? What are you really getting into another tax bracket because you decided to buy a chomp bar at a BP? It's the same when I go to a bottle shop, Snowy. I ordered a six pack the other day. A guy says, do you want a receipt? I'm like, yeah, because I'm getting piss for tax reasons. if we could claim alcohol a tax deduction, Australia would be broke, wouldn't it?
Just get it.
When you buy stationery, you need a receipt. When you buy clothes, often you need a receipt.
Yep.
We don't need a receipt when we're getting pissed.
No, or for chomps. You don't need
a receipt for a chomp. All right, that's just my opener. You go.
Mate, you know what annoys me? And this only occurred to me last week. I needed a lead for the phone for the car. So I already had the plug-in thing that goes into the cigarette lighter. So I just needed the Apple lead. That's all I needed. Why am I paying $20?
$20. Right, that's cheap. $20. it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is stupid. When I can go to Bunnings or you can't go to Masters, they're closed down, but you go to Home Hardware or Mitre 10 and you can buy a 2-metre electrical extension for $5. But it's $20 for an Apple lead. And don't forget, too, with the new iPhone coming out, I'm sure that's a different connection now to the iPhone 5 and 6 like we had with the 4.
Well, there's no headphones anymore. So we're all in a few years going to have to buy Bluetooth headphones. They just change the rules and they just resell us their merch.
It is terrible.
You know what? I get annoyed going to the fruit and veg section of a supermarket. Mm-hmm. A lot about it annoys me. Here's my first question. Mm-hmm. Why are white onions white and brown onions brown, but why are red onions purple? Mm. That annoys me. All right? If you're going to call them red onions, make sure they're red. There is far too many types of tomato these days.
I agree.
I went to buy a tomato. There's Roma, there's cherry, there's Perkinito, there's truss, there's organic, there's on the vine, there's off the vine, there's Jubilee. Just what happened to when we used to buy tomatoes, Snowy?
Correct.
There's a whole aisle.
I know.
They're taking off everything. We have seedless grapes, and I do like a seedless grape. Why can't we have a seedless avocado?
Oh.
How the pip of the avocado takes off 80% of the bastard.
But it's good to throw at kids, though, when they give you the shits in the kitchen.
And don't you hate, I'm sick of wasting time of fondling avocados. You know, when you have to try and find one when they're ripe. Avocados annoy me.
Annoy me. Stay right out of fruit and veg. 133353. What is annoying you, ladies and gents? Your chance to wave that red fist.
104.7 Triple M is ruined it for breakfast.
Players aren't dumb. Some of them are, but most of them aren't.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat workday.
Walk on the wild side. Riders on the storm.
Life goes on.
Here I go.
104.7 Triple M.
8:49, we're waving the red fist this morning, giving you a chance to win $100 cash. Thanks to Victory Verandas, Carports and Louvers. What has peeved you off as of late? Karen of Mount Barker, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell Jules and I what has got your red fist waving.
My biggest red fist is the lack of reality they put into reality shows and daytime soaps and all that crap, because unfortunately we just buried our niece on Monday due to false conceptions of what reality is. It's very sad.
Yeah, I guess in those, a lot of those dating shows, you know, no one's passing wind during the date, or, you know, no one's
exactly
rocking up with BO. They're all dressed up. No one's got a bum.
And TV makes it look like, oh, having a baby is so awesome. Oh, yes, let's do this. Well, reality hits and you're stuck at home and you're in trouble.
You are. Thanks, Karen. Corey of Salisbury, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
All right, what's your red fist?
I've got a double whammy, yeah.
Ooh, go for it.
One's I rent a unit and I pay for my water, but now the landlord passes on the supply of the water. So every 3 months now I've got to pay an extra $71.20 for the water, which I don't mind paying for water that I use, but I don't know why I've got to pay to get water to my property when it's my property.
So you're paying for like the piping of the water to you or something?
Yep, they charge us 20 units in where we are. We pay $71.20 each to have the water come to our units.
It's a lot easier just digging wells back in the day, wasn't it? Just a bit of bore water. It's all so complicated now, Snowy.
We have Chris of Victor Harbour on the road. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How you going?
All right,
yeah,
mate.
Good, Chris.
What's your
wind? That's good. In between the top of Willunga Hill and Mount Compass, the road there is full of potholes. And all that the council have done is restricted the speed from 100 back to 60 rather than fixing all the holes. And then they put the police there to get you for speeding.
Oh, that's one of my biggest bugbears. It's the variable speed limit.
But it's their own fault, because what they've done is they widened the road, but they didn't actually compact the edge correctly. And so it's soft edges and it's just made heaps of potholes.
So the police should maybe be fining them for doing a pretty crap job then.
Yeah, I think you got that right, mate.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Good on you, Chris. Michelle of Longer Downs, good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. Hello?
Hello, Michelle.
Yeah, what's your red fist, Michelle?
Oh, my man's neighbour.
Yep.
His new neighbour has just moved in here. So the first day, we left it alone, the swearing and the banging and all that. And then through Bathurst, we couldn't hear Bathurst. Every morning when Ruin Ditz is on, she comes out and yells with her foul language, says she's going to the housing trust, all this. Now, we've tried to be quiet about it. My man is going for an operation tomorrow on a hernia, and she was still out there this morning yelling with foul language, carrying on like a pork chop. She's tried to sick dogs onto people, and I just think, you know, when you move into somewhere new, you don't do that.
No.
Wow, when you can't hear Bathurst, the quality of yelling must be full on. Well, I really feel for you, Michelle. It'd be terrible to live next door to Snowy.
I should go and introduce myself, shouldn't I? Mark of Clarence Park, good morning, mate. How are you?
G'day, fellas. How you going?
All right, mate. Your red fist. Wave it, buddy.
Mate, American voiceovers.
Yes. I was only thinking
this
that.
This is Australia.
Yep.
Do we not have enough voiceover guys here?
You're exactly right. It's always like, there's never been a better time. It's
exactly.
Always those sort of blokes.
Channel 7 are prolific for this. And I so hear you, Mark, because I heard it the other day on the radio where there was an Aussie guy doing the American voiceover. And I'm just like, oh, please, please, do we need just, it?
Yeah, we love our own accent. I mean, people are picking up enough American vernacular. Mm. And also movie trailers, they're always the same. Yep. It's always like, in a time of famine, they had feasts. You know,
it's you.
In a time of drought,
it's you,
they
Jules.
Had rain.
It's what? It's been you all that time.
It annoys me.
Robbie at Parkside, good morning, mate. How are you? Hello, Robbie. Hello? How are you,
yeah,
mate?
Hi, Robbie.
Wave your red fist, mate. What is it?
Mate, your segment isn't long enough for me to list off all the things that piss me off. But,
oh, look, I'm the same. Let's just do it. Let's do a 24-hour show, Robbie, you and me. But give us one. Give us your favourite.
My favourite is, look, now my mum's a pensioner and I love my mum, okay, and I respect pensioners, but why do you have to do your shopping on a Saturday morning when every poor bastard that works during the week has to go and do their shopping?
You know what?
I walk into the food land, my local food land, and the place is chock-a-block with oldies. Like, that's fine, get your stuff, but do it during the week after your paycheck comes in on a Wednesday, mate.
Exactly.
And you know, Saturday.
And they want to have conversations with the checkout operators. Like,
oh,
how's your date?
There's a dude that plays the piano with the local one, and there's a piano going, and then there's a stopping in the middle of the aisle having a chat about what bloody whatever freaking incontinence pad they're using this month and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But you catch up on the different types of hemorrhoids. I mean, we shouldn't say there's nothing wrong with that, but you're right, like on a busy period, I think that, you know what, express lanes should be cash lanes in supermarkets.
Yeah, you're right.
Just move people through. There should be no small talk.
I have a feeling.
There's always that one person that clogs up the checkout, and it's always, I don't understand why my card does not work, but I will try another one.
No. There's a person at the checkout who then runs to try and get another item they've forgotten and holds up the queue.
Yes.
You're out.
I'm one of those sometimes.
Do you? Oh, I forgot the milk. Oh, I just hold up the line for 30 seconds. You know what?
Quick.
You can shove that milk
right up your clanger. Hey, Robbie of Bucks, so we're going to give you the $100 cash, mate, thanks to Victory Verandas, Carports and Louvers.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast, thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. Check out the new season's Weber range at Norwood and Holden Hill. 104.7 Triple M.